welcome to Ask Me About K-Pop, the essential guide for recent converts and seasoned fans alike. My name is Shannon.
And I'm Angelica.
And good morning.
Good morning, everyone.
It's the morning.
It's the morning for us.
This is the first time I've talked out loud today. So morning podcast.
We've done a few episodes where it's the first time that I've talked. This morning did already talk to Cookie. So okay. My vocal cords are all warmed up.
Good for you.
For those just tuning in, Cookie is my cat.
Yeah. it's May already, which is crazy. Oh no.
Sorry.
I caught made you cough.
Yeah, because I can't believe it.
But May means that this is the time of year where we go, oh no, I can't believe that it's May. I don't want to think about how fast this year is passing by. So let's do an episode about 20 years ago, because it's better to think about the past.
Sometimes it is. We call that escapism. So today we are diving 20 years back to the year 2004.
Yes. And we've been doing these episodes for like 5 years now, because our first one was 2000, which is wild. But these are always fun to do. What I basically do is this is information that is not as easy to find, obviously, as more recent K-pop news and stuff. But I find the recording industry chart, the recording industry of Korea chart for that year, and I go through it. I look for like standout hits on the chart for the year, look at what was popular. And then I also watch a whole bunch of episodes of the show Music Camp, which is the precursor to Music
Bank
Core. This is now Music Core, the MBC music show. Sure. But they have archived like this entire show on YouTube. It's very fascinating. So I watch episodes of Music Camp and I like look at what was popular, what's fun, what's good to talk about. And we just go through the year chronologically and we cut the year in half. So this will just be the first 6 months of 2004, just to try to keep it reasonable length and enough, you know, don't overwhelm you with too much information. But I will say up top that 2004 has proved really, really interesting when doing this research, because it almost feels like a year where K-pop like could have died and never come back.
Mm.
Like, it's a very strange year where we're at this weird moment where like the first gen groups are all long done, right? Mm. Like, the only girl group still hanging on at this point is BabyVox, and this is like the end of BabyVox, pretty much. G.O.D. is still around, but they're taking like year-long hiatuses, and every year people are like, is G.O.D. really going to break up this time?
Mm.
And there's just like kind of no groups.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also not really a lot of like pop music in general. I tried to pull the poppiest stuff I could for this timeline, but like most of the music show winners, most of the stages on the music shows, ballads, like 85% soloists singing ballads.
Interesting.
And it's just very fascinating because it sort of feels like the first gen is like over already, mm-hmm. but the second gen hasn't really started even.
Yeah. It was interesting looking through and seeing like the artists that I do recognize, because in my head, like, especially because one of the last things is like an SM Town like summer release, which we've talked about before. And I almost wanted to call the people like Kangta and BoA and like baby, like brand new TVXQ. I like almost in my head was categorizing them as first gen, but I was like, but they kind of are in a weird way. Like they're not, but they are, because they're like the start of the second.
Yes.
And so but like they were the only people around.
Yeah.
Like we didn't even have Super Junior at this time.
Mm-mm.
So it does feel like a kind of strange transition year in between the first and second gen, where like we haven't really kicked up that new wave yet.
Yeah. And there are just like, so there are some debuts that we'll go over, but there are no groups debuting this year other than TVXQ, which technically debuted back at Christmas the year before. True. But like, they're kind of the only group on the scene. There's no girl groups debuting. Mm-hmm. It's mostly just solo artists. Like, it's a solo artist moment. But even so, like, Rain, we'll get to Rain in the second half of the year because he was kind of a big deal at the time. But in 2003, we talked about, like, Lee Hyori debuting and, like, Bada debuting solo and all these, like, cool first-gen girl group girls going solo. Mm-hmm. They don't put out any music in 2004. Like, they debuted and then, like, went away.
Yeah, interesting.
It's all just very fascinating. And like, yeah, the second gen as we know it doesn't kick off for a minute. So mm-hmm. I don't know. It was just an odd year to look at, like,
yeah,
overall. But I'm excited to get into it. As always, there's like funny, wacky, crazy stuff in here. I love doing these episodes mostly just for fashion commentary and
the fashion is fun.
Reminiscing about what music sounded like when I was in high school, because this version of like Korean popular music sounds mostly pretty similar to what was happening in the West at the time. Like, it's the same samples and the same,
yeah, especially like that the BoA release that we have later on in this timeline. We talked about it in her deep dive as well, but it is like so Britney. Mm-hmm. That it's wild. I feel like it's the almost one of the like most Western releases she's put out. Mm-hmm. And I wonder also if that's maybe like, I wonder if that has something to do with this sort of like dip or lull. Like, maybe they were trying to think of like, oh, if we really want to, because BoA at this point has had success in Japan. And I wonder if they're thinking like, maybe we, if we westernize the sound a little bit more, like we could have a bigger like international push. I don't know. Maybe they were like strategizing during this year.
For sure. Because it does feel like, I guess maybe some people are doing things that are maybe inventive for Korean music and like copying Western artists. And TVXQ is arguably pretty inventive, but it doesn't really feel like anybody this year is like taking swings at trying to do something new and different. Like,
Yeah. Totally. I would agree with that as well.
All right.
Where were you in May of 2004?
I had a car.
Wow.
I was 16, so I had a car. I drove a little white Ford Escape. It was my dream car. It did not have a CD player, but it did have a tape deck. And nice. So I would take the CDs I loved and record them onto cassettes.
Oh, so wow. I was going to ask if you had one of those like CD players that I plugged into the tape deck.
I did eventually have one of those, but it just was tape deck into my Walkman.
Yeah.
Which
that's
meant
exactly
if I went over bumps or whatever, then it would skip.
Ba-bump. Yeah. Totally.
So
I never had one of those, but I had friends who did.
May is like the last year of last
month
school,
of school,
right?
Yeah.
So I would have been doing like, I don't know, end of sophomore year things. I was probably doing a musical or something, but I was just obsessed with my car and being able to drive around.
Yes. Yeah. I was finishing my eighth grade year. Wow. I was in Bye Bye Birdie.
Cute.
Getting ready for my first overnight summer camp.
Ooh.
Which was a theater camp.
That's awesome.
It was a good
camp.
Time. Camp.
Oh, camp. Oh, man. Yeah. Oh, I'm so bad at like remembering times. But I also probably would have been on my way to like one of my crazy church camps if it was
fun.
It was fun. We were bad kids. We snuck around at church camp.
I feel like that just
and
like
kissed
is
boys
par for
and
the course
got in
with
trouble.
Church camp, though. Like, you can't go to church camp and expect them to actually be good.
They try though. Okay. Anyway. All right. Let's go to 2004 and see what the K-pop was like. And I did just want to start with somebody that I didn't catch in the 2003 episode. And there was just this one moment that was so funny to me, I couldn't let it go unnoticed. So back in October of 2003, there was a comeback from an artist that just went by H. just the letter H. The album was called Did You Forget? And that was the title song as well. And I couldn't find much information about this guy. Like, he supposedly did some lyrics and sang backup vocals for the boy band NRG. But he debuted in 99 with a very bubblegum song called Candy Girl. And then he was the lead boy in Hyori's 10 Minutes music video, which I guess inspired him to try to make a comeback because he was like in a popular thing. So he changed his stage name from Han Sungmin to just H. And he was clearly trying to come for Rain and M, who was another like one letter solo guy. And he tried to make another comeback in 2013. And I only found a music video for this song that had been restored with AI and it like looked weird. And I was like, whatever, I don't want to watch this. So I didn't link it. But I did see that A-Pink's Bomi and Namju had redone this song, Did You Forget, on that Project Sugar Man show back in 2016. But the main reason that I had to bring this up is because I saw this guy existed from a January music camp stage of his more popular song off this album, which was called I Want You. And there's a part in the dance where he starts taking off his clothes and the clothes removing has sound effects.
What? He is coming for Rain.
Yeah, he's like very beefy in his little white tank top and his like Von Dutch hat and like, yeah. So I just had to point that out. I could not let that moment of the...
No, I love it. Totally worth it.
Okay, so that will move us into 2004 for real. So our very first debut of 2004 is a debut on January 6th. We have a solo artist named Tay. I think Tay or Tae-I, based on how his name is put together. I'm not sure. His debut album was called The First Journey, and the single is called Love Leaves Its Scent. So this album actually sold 116,000 copies and was the number 21 best-selling album of 2004. And this song won 13 music show trophies, including an Inkigayo Triple Crown and 5 weeks in a row at music camp.
Wow. That's wild.
So this guy...
But you know, ballads perform really well.
No, they do.
Ballads do well.
They do.
They always do.
But this guy was a solo artist. His birth name is Kim Hyo Kyung. He was born in 83, so he was 20 at the time of his debut. And his stage name is a combination of the French word te, meaning you, or te, whatever, and the English word I. So his name is supposed to be me and you, but in a stage name.
Okay.
And the music video that's in the playlist is horrible quality. It's super old, but it's just him like running sadly in all white with his shirt super unbuttoned, and he's like screaming and crying in the mud and like ripping himself out of plastic and cuddling this like weird wooden lamb.
Like a child's like rocking toy. Yes. Like lamb. And then there's like papers flowing in, like flying through the air, like a lot of trash.
Yeah. But you know, he still smells like love, so he's having a hard time or whatever.
But the love has left its scent.
And the stage in the playlist has him wearing like the most 2003 cool hipster boy outfit, while about 30 dudes in black turtlenecks, like standing in perfect even lines behind him, are like step touch backing him up. And they all have handheld mics. Like, it's a whole production.
That's weird because they're just like they're not actually singing. Like, there's no, like, vocal backups.
I guess there is, like, it's kind of chorally on that love that I shared with you. But, like, not 30 guys' worth.
Yeah, not like, the gay men's chorus of San Francisco behind him. Like, come on. All right. Well, he was a hit. Yep. So he makes the list. Next up, we have a major debut on January 14th. We have TVXQ with Hug. All right, we have talked extensively about this in our two-part TVXQ deep dive, but for the basics, this sold 169,000 copies, and it was the number 14 best-selling album of the year. The initial sales were kind of slow, but then when they won their first music show in March, they went up significantly and kept them in the top five for both April and May. And this song would go on to win six total music shows. And we've talked about this beforehand, where like the... like back in the day, they didn't necessarily promote at the same time that it was released. So like,
yes, there would
the
be
song
like
comes out in January. Break. Yeah. But then they don't start promoting it until like March. So then that's when they won their music show. And that happened. There's like another one later on that I've noted the same thing, where like the song comes out in May, but then the music show awards are from like August.
That's what I've like had to learn doing these episodes, is that like it's everybody did it. And I wonder if it was like the companies being hesitant to spend music show money before they knew if anybody cared about the song, or if that's just like how promotion cycles worked. But like, in order for me to do these episodes, I have to start like, if we're doing January to June, I have to start watching September music shows and then work back from there, because everybody's promoting so ahead of when the songs come out. But one thing I wanted to note, just again on this like, wow, K-pop's really in a lull right now moment, is that this TVXQ debut album sold 169,000 copies. And that's not none. It's not a flop. But H.O.T.'s debut album sold 1.5 million copies. So like,
okay, good to know for comparison.
Just saying, it's really an interesting moment for the boy bands that are around, of which there are so few.
And definitely not getting that like initial fervor that we saw from groups like H.O.T. or Shinhwa.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, more about Hug.
More about Hug. This was a maxi single, so it included Hug, My Little Princess, and Oh Holy Night, which is since they did their like debut performance on Christmas, they performed Oh Holy Night like a cappella or something, whatever, that's still there. There's also an a cappella version of My Little Princess and an instrumental version of Hug, because TVXQ, of course, was all about the harmonies and the singing. And as we discussed in the deep dive, this song has really silly lyrics about wishing that I could be your cat so that you'll feed me milk and hold me against your bosom, and it's like quite odd. The music video is just like them being pretty and then like shaving or holding a cat. But their vocals are just,
just gorgeous. Moving along. So we had a bunch of debuts right up in January. Like, most of the debuts on my list all happened like right up top.
Right
so
away.
The next one was on January 19th, and this is the debut of SG Wannabe. And their first album was called SG Wannabe Plus, and the single is called Timeless. So SG Wannabe was a three-member vocal-focused group, and they were instantly popular for their very good vocals, but they remained kind of mysterious at first because they're not in the music video, and they didn't show their faces until they started doing music shows in May. So like,
wow,
five,
so like the first, five or six months of just anonymity.
This album sold 180,000 copies and was the number 12 best-selling album of the year. And the music video is a 10-minute drama music video where Sun from Lost is like a vice cop who accidentally kind of falls in love with the like mobster perp that she's supposed to be like protecting. I think he's in trouble and she's protecting him. I don't know. It's really complicated. And the music video reportedly cost 2 billion won to make. Because there's so many locations and shootouts. And it's a really complicated
music video. And it's 10 minutes long. Like, it's a whole film. It's a short film.
And we watched this whole music video in episode 248 for the random game. And it was driving me crazy. When I first started doing research, I was like, we have watched this music video before. And I went searching through all of our docs, SG Wannabe Timeless. It was not coming up. And I was like, I feel crazy. And then I checked our beautiful Ask Me About K-Pop wiki. Aww. And saw that it was in the random game page. So thank you to the people who keep the wiki running, because we need it, clearly.
Yeah. And because also we never write down who we did in the random. I mean, we have try the spreadsheet, to,
and
you have
I forget.
The spreadsheet, but we don't go back in the doc and like write who we got for that episode. So that wiki really does help
it
us out.
Saves
Thank
us.
You very much. All right. On this same day, January 19th, we had another debut of a girl group called Shine. Or is it? It's not Shiny.
I'm pretty sure it's just Shine.
Okay. It's S-H-Y-N-E. So we're going to say that Shine.
Yeah.
And they debut with the single Too Late. So these were actually two Korean-American girls from L.A. named Sunny and Bonnie. They were both 19 at the time of the debut. And the album itself had 14 tracks. So they did release a follow-up song from the album called SOS later in the year. And then they did a Japanese album in 2006. But that's about all that we could find about them. So not a whole lot of info about like where they are now.
I wonder, though. I wonder where they are now.
Especially because this in like we were saying is kind of a lull for K-pop right now, but this song, this music video is so 2004 Western pop.
Right.
Like you noted that it sounds like something off of that Samantha Mamba album that you had. And I totally agree. Like the music video is the same way with the like white room. And then you have like all the backup dancers.
And I they're like think fedoras was... and hoop earrings.
Yeah,
and, like...
yeah. And the like kind of like toughness of it all or whatever. Like, I don't know. It just did feel very of the time. So it's interesting that this didn't like really catch anybody's attention.
Yeah. All right. Next up, on January 27th, we have a comeback from So Taeji. And I want to stop right now and just apologize for every single time on this podcast that I've ever said So Taeji. And that is because it is Romanized stupid. And then it's Tae. And every time I see that, I go, I've always said it wrong, but it is romanized with an I. And that is just a lesson in why you should never trust romanizations. But I just always feel dumb and bad when I see people's names wrong. But anyway, whatever. This grandfather of K-pop returns with his album Seventh Issue, and the single is called Robot. And I know you're saying, but Shannon, that sounds like nu metal. Why are you playing that on this episode? And the reason that I'm playing that on this episode is that this was the number one album of the year. And it sold
2004
almost
was a dark time,
half
y'all.
A million copies. So I had to talk about it because like this was the most popular thing.
And he's the guy.
He's the guy.
So...
But yeah, this song has like a nearly 7 minute like horror music video. And warning, if you watch it at the beginning, this woman like scrapes her nail across a chalkboard. Like it has like an awful like chalkboard scrape sound. And it's like kids crying and like people like being upset and like paper flying and like weird, scary like sculptures of like men with like stuff all stuck through them. Like, I don't know. It's just like. New metal-y.
Creepy, yeah.
But this was a 12-track album, and the entire album was done in drop C tuning, which when I told my husband that, he was like, that's so fucking dumb. It's like a way that you tune your guitar that's like wrong, but it like sounds super, it sounds different. And he did the whole album in this tuning so that it would, quote, sound like one long song.
I hate that.
Yeah.
I hate that idea. I hate that. Especially when songs like this to me, like already sound like when I hear an artist who makes music like this and then I hear like more than one of their songs, like they all sound the same to me.
Right.
They all do. It's like I have like ear blindness mm-hmm. for this specific genre of music.
Totally. But I did see that in true first gen idol fashion, he did do some social commentary with this Great. Album, and the song FM Business heavily criticized the music industry. And then he also had a song called Victim, which touched on the topics of abortion, sexism, and domestic violence. So wow. he was out there making some statements with his very popular album.
Hot topics. Straight out of Hot Topic. All right. Next up on January 28th, we have a comeback from the group Diva with their album Renaissance. And the single was called Hey Boy. Album sold 6,000 copies and was number 31 for the month of January. It is Diva's seventh studio album. We've mentioned them before. They're a three-member girl group. And the music video is mostly just the three members of Diva dancing in shadow in front of this like kind of mod like orange yeah. circle backdrop. And then there's something going on with a laptop, but they don't show it enough to actually give you a plot. And my only note for this really is that like, I think that for a music video that has so much shadow dancing, the shadow dancing probably could have used some choreography mm-hmm. because it really seems like they're just freestyling and they're not great. Like the one with the really short hair is just like flailing in yes. like a really goofy
she's the
way.
One in their older stuff that just stood there with a cane and like looked cool.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And now she's here to like give you all the elbows. But I do think that the song's very catchy. In their previous stuff where she did have the cane and they wore their like leather suits, I always thought Diva was really cool.
Yeah.
So this is definitely like a less cool release. It doesn't have their like badass like, vibes.
It feels like a seventh album from a group that maybe has like
never
not
really
kept up with the times
it.
Or yeah. whatever. Because this song also sounds older than some yeah. of the other stuff on the album or on the list of this mm-hmm. year. But Diva yeah. was cool, and they were still cool. Hanging in a little bit here.
They wore cool leather suits and fedoras. And one of them had a cane.
Yeah.
They were cool.
Okay. On February 8th, this is like kind of like a fun fact piece of news, K-pop history moment that I found, which was what was called the New Dimension Tour 2004. And this was a, quote, Korean hip hop concert that was held in both LA and Chicago. And the lineup was Yoon Sung Jin, Wee Sung, Lexi, Seven, Rain, and JYP. And I found a review from the UCLA newspaper of the Los Angeles stop. And they said that this show was held in a venue that has 17,000 seats and 800 people showed up to this concert.
Ooh.
And the article was saying that the fans that were there were so loud, so excited that everyone put on a great show, like especially Rain, really charming. Everybody loved it. But the article pondered, quote, is Korean pop music really done for? Mm-hmm. Because like nobody came to this show.
Yeah.
And like,
yeah.
That's so wild to think about now. Like the way that people tour in the US and all the shows to think of like anybody putting on a festival show and only 800 people showing up. Like, I just don't even think that's possible anymore.
Well, for it to be a festival with multiple names and have that few people. Because, like, I remember when we saw, like, Astro's tour, like, back in the day. And that was not a suit. Like, you definitely could have probably. Venue. No, it was a small venue. But also, I feel like only half the capacity was really there.
Right.
But yeah, to have like a festival where
it's like all the half, people.
Yeah.
And it's like everyone cool. And like, nobody came. So that was just fascinating to
me. Maybe it's just because they called it a Korean hip hop festival. Because like Seven and Rain are not hip hop artists.
I'm sure they considered themselves as such at the time, though.
Well, like, they're not. I don't know. For the record, Rain.
But the other fun thing is that there was also dating rumors that surfaced after this show because Rain was reportedly spotted in Los Angeles with his drama co-star, Gong Hyo-jin.
Ooh.
So I never, no pictures, never confirmed, but that did come out after this. And then another on Valentine's Day, there was like breaking news of a quote shocking Kangta photo. And I'll like put the picture on Instagram, but it's this picture of Kangta and a ballad singer named Lee Soo Young. And they both look like drunk and they're just kind of like hugging. Like this is a whatever picture.
This looks like a MySpace photo. Yes. Like that's it.
Doesn't even say like dating or scandal. Like this just looks like a friendly hug picture.
Yeah, it doesn't look romantic.
But
they look drunk, but it doesn't look romantic.
Yeah, but this was like a huge scandal because A, they said that see-through top that she was wearing was basically underwear.
She's wearing a purple lace top that has a matching purple camisole underneath. Like it is a set.
Yeah, but they were like, she's wearing lingerie and that her perm made her look slutty and that their faces were touching. And it was like a whole thing.
Her perm made her look slutty? That's racist.
And reportedly, both singers' camps claimed that the picture was fake and that they would never touch each other like this and that she's never even had a perm. But
there's no way this picture is fake.
Like Photoshop in 2004 was not good enough. Nothing about this picture looks fake. That is like the realest picture I've ever seen.
That of all the things that you could have complained about with all of this, like, or that you could have come back with, the picture being fake is the least likely. But whatever, Kangta. Whatever. SM isn't great with dealing with scandal.
It's just so funny to me that every single one of these that we've ever done, there is one piece of news item of like, Kangta looked at a girl, Kangta talked to a girl, Kangta did something. Like,
but none about Kangta doing full drag.
Right?
No articles about that. Nobody has shit to say about that. I have a lot of shit to say about that.
I know. I still think about it all the time.
Oh, Kangta. All right. What a character. We still have ridiculous news items about Kangta.
I know.
Kangta.
That's tears the of thing. Blood. Like,
wow. You know what? Keep it up, Kangta. You entertain the fuck out of us.
Yeah. For more than 20 years, you've been entertaining and we appreciate it.
And your entertainment has nothing to do with your music. So keep it up, man. All right. Moving along, on February 17th, we had a comeback from the queen, Jonghwa, with her album Self Control, and the title was called Eros. This album sold 25,000 copies and was only 82 for the year. And we couldn't find a music video for this song, but there are so many stages. And for most of them, she's wearing like a little Village People cop hat, which is an odd choice. Mm-hmm. And the stage that we included in the music video has her hair. It is like mohawk bangs.
Yeah, but they're like glued in a straight. They're glued to her forehead.
They're like glued down spikily on her forehead, but then there's some sort of like knot poof thing that is on top of her head. Because like when she turns to the side, it is not all flat. Like she has like a bump like right on top of her head. And then she has like a ponytail.
But it's like a little knot. Like a little
Yeah, like the ponytail is like a little gross, like
olive oil.
Whatever. Knot. Yeah. Yes. Like olive oil for Popeye. And she's wearing this like I honestly thought that the backup dancers were just like topless for a second, but it's like pink and orange, and the orange like with the stage lights like blended into their skin. She's wearing all orange. And at a certain point she like walks over a backup dancer who is just straight up humping the ground underneath, like, but humping the air. I should say, like, the air, because he's on his back. Yeah, he's on his back, and she walks over him, and then he like humps the air underneath her crotch. It's wild.
Very wild.
It's wild. But as far as Um Jung Hwa releases go, this was pretty mid.
Yeah. All right. I guess I have nothing else for February because I move all the way to March at this point. And again, so many popular ballad singers that I skipped because that was like most of what was coming out. So that explains the big gaps. But March 23rd, we have a comeback from someone who goes by Joe PD. And this album was called Great Expectation, Joe PD Part 1, Politics and Social Change. And the single is called My Friend and features Insoni. So Joe PD debuted as a rapper in 1999. And he owned the K-pop company Stardom from 1998 to 2015. And he had groups like Block B, which ended very badly for him, Evil and Top Dog, as well as like a ton of rappers. But he sold his company to somebody else and it got dissolved in 2015. But just interesting how many K-pop CEOs like started as artists themselves. And this is another one of them. But this album sold 55,000 copies and was number 44 for the year. But this song won 5 music show trophies, which was a first for him because he had never even performed live and was a faceless rapper until 2002. So this was kind of like a real resurgence for him. And the music video tells a couple of different stories. There's like an old man that's getting ready to go on a date. There's some bored office workers. And then there's a kid who has like a bully at school. And then Joel PD and Insoni are like in the newspaper or in picture frames or on the milk carton, like singing like Harry Potter pictures. Mm-hmm. And then towards the end of the music video, they use 2004 like deep fake technology to put the old man and the businessman and the kids' faces on people doing like pop and lock robot dances. It's pretty wild. And yeah, I just wrote down that at the beginning of this song, he says, "I'm back again. Yeah, once again. I'm back again. Yeah, once again." Like 100 times. So he was back again.
Just so you know. He's back again. Once again. All right. On March 26th, we have another comeback from a group we've heard a lot about called Coyote. And this was their album Coyote 6 with the single Disco King. This album sold 295,000 copies. It was number 6 for the year, and this song won 7 music show trophies, including 4 in a row on Music Camp and the Inkigayo Triple Crown. So, very popular release for Coyote. Coyote was, I think, like always kind of pretty popular. Like, yeah. I feel like they did, like, they had pretty good success all the way through. They were a co-ed 3-member group, for those of you just tuning in who have never heard us mention them before. And they did have like a school concept for the music video, which is hilarious because all three members of Coyote were fully adults, like over 25 at least. Jongmin is the teacher, Shinji is a student, and then the rapper Becca is like a cool transfer student that comes and shakes up the school with his wild music and dancing. And then like the majority of the music video is them either dancing in like a big like locker room, or I guess it's supposed to be a hallway, but it's like just a room lockers,
yeah,
that have like lockers on all sides. And then they're in like a very fake looking kind of like Say My Name music video style discotheque, mm-hmm. Where they are dancing. And yeah,
it's fun.
Coyote. It's a fun song.
On March 29th, we had a little bit of news, and that was the disbandment of the first gen boy group Click B. So this was less than a year after last time we talked about how during a Click B concert, one of the members on stage was like, by the way, my girlfriend is here and I'm in love. And they like put a spotlight on her. And it was like the craziest thing that I think has ever happened. I still can't believe
Joshua
that happened.
Should do that at the next the next 17 concert. Oh, and by the way, my girlfriend's here with my mom.
Spotlight. Because that's exactly what happened at this Click Me concert.
So wild.
So anyway.
If I was the girlfriend, I would have been like, no.
Do not do this to me.
Don't you fucking dare.
But anyway, this disbandment supposedly happened because their contracts with DSP Media had ended at this point. So this was like the end of Click B for now. A couple of them will reunite in a couple of years and try to keep it going. But DSP, the statement from DSP just made me laugh because it just has like, it's very 2004 that it started with, we have deleted their homepage. If you're not on the website, you don't exist anymore.
Exactly.
And then they said, we want to thank the Click B members for their years of performing, and we pray that they will get more love from now on. And we hope Click B's fans will support their new careers. So there you go. Thanks for the memories, Click B.
Get out of here.
Okay, so then March 31st, we had a comeback from the group Five. This was F-IV, and we talked about their debut in the 2003 episode. So this is their first comeback, and the album is called Five Story, and the single was called I'm Sorry. I still want the show. I can never be your man. So this song was written by Hitman Bang, and the music video does not feature the members at all. Instead, it's like a couple in a very like concrete-y looking like house set, and they're clearly having a bad time because the music video is colorless and there's a tarantula and like other creepy stuff. But then for most of the music video, the girl just walks around like cuddling a very old-timey gun, like a big fancy cowboy revolver, and she's like rubbing it on her face and like and then she does shoot herself with it towards the end of the video. And cool. Then the man is sad and he burns some letters and he's wearing suspenders and he's sorry, I guess.
Sorry that he can't be your man.
But promotions for this album were cut short as some of the members got called to go to the military. And that was the end of Five after just a year.
Wouldn't you know when you're supposed to get called? Like, Hitman Bang, this is the kind of thing you plan for.
Yeah.
This is the kind of thing you plan ahead.
Yeah.
Whatever. I won't pretend to know to understand the mind of Hitman Bang. All right. On April 16th, we have a comeback from Baby Vox with their album Ride West, and the single was called Ecstasy. So we did do Baby Vox Deep Dive. Please see that for more information. But this sold 25,000 copies and was number 85 for the year. The music video is like Fast and the Furious themed with a bunch of cars, and they're wearing like fedoras and like getting out of the cars all sexy. And then the chorus is just whispered like, I know you want me, baby. Don't you want me, baby? And it's like so flat.
Yeah, it's so nothing.
It's so flat. And as we discussed in the deep dive, this also featured an entire Tupac verse, which was controversial because Tupac was already dead. And so this got them a lot of criticism, and like that one Korean rapper guy like really dragged them through the mud because of like the supposed like sacrilege or whatever of using this Tupac verse in a song like this. Whatever. Some rapper got like really butthurt about it and was a total fucking dick about it and ruined their career. So unfortunately, this kind of was the end of Baby Vox. But as we discussed in the deep dive, the second single off of this album was a remake of the J-Lo song Play. So just FYI.
And I did
Baby Vox
notice
not
that
with
they...
not a bang, but quite a fizzle.
Yeah, I did notice that they seem to do way more stages of Play than Ecstasy, because Ecstasy is so nothing. Like, at least Play
so
is
nothing.
Like a song. Yeah. But it's really interesting that, like, that Baby Vox is essentially the last girl group left at this point, and that this album was, like, so... Most of the songs in it on it were in English or were, like, J-Lo remakes, and it was, like, they were clearly really trying to, like... cater to, appeal to, do like a Western thing, and it seemed like nobody wanted that 20 years ago, and it's just all fascinating.
It's an interesting choice. I like do wonder kind of where that motivation came from, but we shall never know.
On April 22nd we have a comeback from our favorite ex-HOT that we love to giggle about, and that is Moon Hee Jun with an album entitled Soaring for a Dream. And this single is called Paper Airplane.
I literally hate it.
And I feel like it wouldn't be as bad if there wasn't the doubling of him
of the
screaming the chorus.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this sold 13,000 copies, so it didn't make the top 100 for the year. But the way that his fans are screaming in the stage that I put in the playlist, like, it, he was fine. He had his, he always had his people who were there to hang on for him. Which I all, again, I feel like I've said this before, but it's super fascinating to me that this guy got so famous in, like, the boy band. And then his choice after leaving it was, like, I'm going to make, like, screamo rock pop. And then his fangirls were like, great, we're here for this too.
Yeah, that is, I was thinking the same, that, like, the love for an artist would continue through such a wild genre jump. Like, I can't really think of someone else who has done that. Like, maybe Michael Jackson, like, people would have followed him through anything, but he never made that distinct
big
of a change. Yeah. Like the other artists who are like kind of chameleon, they still stay within their genre. So it's interesting that, I mean, that's dedication
for sure. But this has like a way too sad music video. There's like a really sad child who at the beginning it appears like she's gonna go jump off a building, but instead of jumping off she throws a paper airplane, and then like and then it just like flashes through like how her, she was happy once. She had a family. She doesn't anymore. The teachers yell at her at school. She's bullied. Like, I don't know. It was just like a sad child.
Yeah.
A sad child, like intercut with footage of him like singing on stage.
A sad child and like very disturbing scenes of her like lying on the ground with what appeared to be either just straight up dummies of her parents, like mannequins, or dead bodies.
Right.
Either way, upsetting.
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 So there you go.
Thank you, Moon. Moving right along to April 30th, we have a comeback from NRG with their album New Radiancy. And the single was titled Hooray for the Viral Son of Korea. Okay. So this sold 35,000 copies and was number 69 for the year. Nice. And this music video is all over the place, to be honest. We have like a red room with glitter.
Yeah, where gold everybody's glitter dancing. Like falling forever.
And then we have like a fence where all of these guys like dressed in like kind of traditional like Korean clothes with like the flag like painted on their faces are like shouting at the fence. And then we have clips of like real soccer.
Yeah.
Like cut in as well. And all the members are wearing like little like Nehru jackets. Mm-hmm. And like it seems to be sort of like maybe like World Cup themed.
Yes, I think that was like, the intention is that it was about to be World Cup time and they were trying to get in on that, get a popular Korea! Song for the World Cup moment.
It worked for Psy.
Yeah. But this is like interesting to me because again, NRG is basically is one of those like last bastions of first gen boy groups still hanging on at this point. And they've like changed their whole image and sound so many times at this point. And like now they're like, I'm sure they weren't old. I bet if I looked it up, they were probably all like 23, maybe.
Yeah.
But they have like bored old man energy in this music video, like that they're already like, we're at the point where we just like stand here and go, yo, yo.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
It is very, very interesting. It's very much that for sure.
But one of them has like a really crazy pair of sunglasses in the music video in the stage that I was just like baffled by. They are really wild sunglasses. All right. Moving into May. On the 3rd of May, we have a debut of a singer named Ilak. And his first album was just called Ilak First Album, and his single is called I'll Be Waiting. I wanna tell you my love.
They would have had to like individually.
That's what I wanted to talk about. It's so confusing to me. So Ilak was the third soloist to debut as a part of an MTV show that was called MTV's Singer Debut Project. And Tay from the beginning of the episode and a guy named Tim, who's coming up in a moment, were the first two. And this guy's the third one. And I believe it wasn't like a competition show. I think it was more like, do you remember that MTV show Diary, where it would be like, we're following Mandy Moore for a month before she puts out her new song, and it'd be like, Diary.
Oh, yeah.
This is my diary. I think it was probably one of those shows. Like,
and
I don't
so
think
it was just
it was
like following people who were already planning on
about
coming
to
out
debut.
With something.
Yeah. Something.
Gotcha.
So even though the quality of the music video is very bad, I like need y'all to go find it in the playlist and see this dude's hair in the music video because he has like this very fluffy mullet thing, but like, and it's got like so many highlights in it.
Yeah. So many
but
different
the pieces
colors.
That are highlighted are sticking out like little porcupine things, and it's just like five strands of hair. Like, I don't understand how they did it.
Yeah, they had to have like, I mean, the whole thing is like fluffed to high heaven, and then he has like almost like the Rachel Lee Cook Josie and the Pussycats like flip where every end is flipped, but it's not every end. It's like select pieces that had to have been individually flipped. I just, the amount of time that man had to have spent in the hair chair is
it would have been a lot.
It would have been a lot.
But like all his outfits in the music video, the like really slow choreography, the cuts to a guy who is not him doing really complicated breakdancing, like all
that
of
is
it is
way
just gold.
Too intense for the song, the song that is happening. Like it doesn't go with the beat and it's just like so much more energy than the song is giving. It's great. It's
I
really, really good.
Had a good time watching this one.
It's super fun. I liked this one too. All right, just a few days later, we have a comeback on May 6th from Mina with her album Re:Turn, and the single was called Turn. Get on love, everybody.
song reminds me of Here We Go from the first NSYNC album.
Yes.
Here we go.
Yes, here we go. NSYNC has got the flow. Okay, so Mina was a popular model in the 90s, and she debuted as a singer in 2002. And during this particular comeback, she was 31, which is worth noting because it's older than a lot of other K-pop ladies. But the main point of this music video and all the stages is that Mina has a hot body and tan abs and a belly button ring. The music video is essentially entirely in front of a green screen, and she's just like walking on a moving sidewalk in front of fake streets or
the wacky universe
or the middle of space, like, and then at one point she's just like laying on a table and like smushing her boobs for the camera. She's just like looking hot, eyeshadow so frosty, tank tops,
yeah,
etc.
So tan. Out there being like, I'm hot, what are you gonna do about it?
Yeah, I'm hot. Look at my boobs.
Mm-hmm.
And we did.
All right. May 17th, we have a comeback from Dynamic Duo. They put out an album called Taxi Driver, and the single is called Ring My Bell, and it features Naul. So this album sold 57,000 copies and was the number 42 best-selling album of the year. And the music video has Dynamic Duo acting out different movies in bad wigs and like overacting in a very goofy way, like Karate Kid, The Exorcist. It's real goofy and fun as they normally are. And the song samples Ring My Bell by Anita Ward, like that classic disco song. And they have so many break dancers on the stage, and they're wearing like jerseys and sideways caps because they're so cool.
They're so cool. And then Dynamic Duo is just out there like rapping and giving like rap pants. And then the break dancers are like going so hard all around them.
The news honestly for this year was very hard and few and far between news items to like find, which was a little bummer because I love like weird old gossip from 20 years ago. But on May 21st, the news of the day was that SM dancer group Black Beat had finished recording their second album and that it would be out this summer. Woo! But the update from the future is that Black Beat never had another album. That did not happen.
No, they just got like disbanded.
They just got SM Town songs.
Yeah. I was like, they just got turned into the trainers and the choreographers. So then moving into June, we have a comeback from Tim, the guy that was featured on that MTV show. The album was called Second Breath, and the single is called Thanks to You.
He looks like a guy named Tim.
I don't know. He does. So this sold 57,000 copies and was number 33 for the year. The song itself won 3 music show trophies. And the music video quality is absolutely horrendous. It is over 6 minutes long and honestly kind of a convoluted plot. Like there's heavy string, or there's like a violin that's heavily featured in this song, and in the music video a little boy plays the violin, and like Tim I think is the little boy's brother, but then there's a girl who like cares very deeply for the little boy but is maybe like, I don't know how they're related to Tim. And then like at one point in the middle, I thought that the little boy died, but he didn't. And then later in the music video, Tim collapses and the little boy is like screaming Hyung over him. I don't know. It's complex. There's a violin involved and everybody's sad. But anyway, the guy, Tim, is still out here. He went on Sugarman 5 years ago with this song and then recently-ish performed again on Sketchbook in 2021. He still sounds great. He's still kicking around and people still remember this song.
Love it. All right. On June 4th, we have a debut of a boy group called Wanted. And their first album is called Like the First. And their debut single, the Korean title, translates to Convulsion. So this was a four-member singing group that debuted under YG. And their main feature was that it was very, very growly.
So growly.
One of the members is so growly, but almost in a way that like almost feels like a joke. Yeah. Like it's a little Kermit-y. Like it's like back in his throat. In like a way that you're like, you can't be serious, right? Like,
but that opening line yeah. of the like, hurr, 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 it's like so crazy. And in the stage that I put in the playlist, it has women in the audience literally. Literally in tears. Like yeah. people loved it.
They loved it. And their debut album had like the four of them on a Wanted poster as the cover. And this album sold 40,000 copies and peaked at number 12. But sadly, just a few months after this debut, one of the members died in a car accident. So they didn't do anything else for like 3 years. And then I think that second album is all they ever did after that. So like, yeah. Like immediate successful debut, immediate tragedy for Wanted.
That's too bad. Too bad for Wanted.
Yeah.
Next up on June 10th, we have a debut from someone called Tebin. The album is called Tebin of One Time. And the single was called The Reason That I Close My Eyes. So this was the solo debut of the one-time member Tibbin. It was also, fact from the future, his only release. And the fact that absolutely everything for this release had to be labeled as Tibbin of One Time just really makes me giggle. Yeah, that's and like, what they called wow, that's so
his
sad.
Solo album.
Like, that's what they named his solo album.
And all
album.
The stages were all like, the stages of One Time.
Huge. Yeah, it says Tibbin of One Time. Like, he cannot be. They'd never, ever bill him on his own, which they I just find, not, like, sad.
They did not trust that his recognition was enough to yeah, pull it off just, on his
it,
own.
It wasn't enough. But this song, this album, I should say, sold 31,000 copies, and it peaked at 11 for the month. And fun fact about Tibbin, his name is Danny, and he's from Diamond Bar, California. and he went on to host an Mnet talk show called Danny from L.A., which was a lie because Diamond Bar isn't LA. But that's all I know about Tibbin.
Okay. Well, you know, he gave it a shot.
He tried.
I didn't write it down because it didn't feel like enough of like news, but I did see that one of the news items for the year was that like One Time wasn't going to be able to promote because Teddy, who was in One Time and is the Black Label guy who writes the Blackpink songs, like that guy, Teddy, he had gone to live in LA for the summer to write a Jinyushan album, and YG didn't feel like One Time could perform without him. So like One Time was like kind of weirdly on a hiatus while Teddy was busy writing music. So I guess maybe they decided like, maybe Tibbin can put out a song.
Maybe. So they were just like, let's just like throw this guy like to it or yeah. whatever.
But put One Time's name in the title just yeah. in case.
Make sure you have One Time's name in the title just in case.
All right. Next day, June 11th, we have a comeback from Queen Boa with her album My Name and the single of the same My Name. So this album sold 191,000 copies and was number 11 for the year. And yeah, this song has similar loops and similar like little melodic interpolations of I'm a Slave for You.
Yeah. The little like dunk dunk dunk.
Yes.
Da-na-na-na, da-na-na-na.
And the like na 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 na. Like that's very similar. But anyway, this was the like grown up boa, belly button ring, little jeans. I remember in the
lot like, of body rolls, a drop squat. Like we're getting more mature choreography.
I do remember in the nobody, what was that show called? Like Nobody Listens to Boa or whatever. Her like 20-year anniversary.
Nobody Talks to Boa or something like that.
Her, like, 20th anniversary documentary that was about how like she's sad and doesn't have any friends. But anyway, there was a point in that one where she went to dinner with Yuno and Yoon Young Jin, and they talk and Yuno talked about like how hot she was in this comeback and how it just like blew everybody, like how it was like too much. Like, oh my god, like what's happening?
No one could handle grown boa, not a baby no moa.
But this music video has gotten the SM remaster treatment, so it looks great, and
it does.
It's a good watch. It does.
It's a classic. Next up on June 18th, we have a comeback from Kim Jong-kook with his album Evolution, and the single was called Feeling. Tell me why. Get jiggy like one two three. This sold 113,000 copies. It was number 22 for the year, and this was his second album. His first one was a total flop, but this one was a hit, and afterward he became a permanent cast member of X-Man, and so that helped kind of like further his popularity, because Kim Jong-kook right now is, I think, probably more well known to like the general audience as just a TV personality. Yeah. He's like a cast member on so many things, but he was originally in Turbo and then he came out as a solo artist, and is just known as being the beefiest guy with the teeniest voice. It's so small.
It's wild.
And it's wild. And this song is just like disco with that tiny voice and also lasers.
Lots
There's like
of
a
laser.
Like all through the back. And I couldn't find a music video for this, but the stage performance has a real like Soul Train vibe, but everybody is in super regular mall clothes with like the longest boot cut jeans dragging on the floor and then like matching floral pattern shirts. And Kim Jong-kook does not even bother trying to dance. Like he is just standing there in his tight t-shirt, like singing, and that's all.
That stage made me laugh so much because he looks like every boy that worked at Abercrombie in 2004. Like he's so beefy, he's so tan, his hair is like kind of honey colored bleached, his t-shirt is so tight, it's like a baby tee.
And it has the like three little like buttons at the top that are like undone, and he has like a woven belt on his like low rise
carpenter
like,
jeans.
Exactly. It's so funny. He does look like one of the people who would be like an Abercrombie model sitting outside of the store,
except trying to spray cologne on you. All right, June 24th, we have the first comeback of TVXQ with their second single, The Way You Are. So this one sold 214,000 copies and was number 9 for the year. So it charted a little higher than the debut Hug maxi single did. And it entered the charts, the monthly charts, at number 2 and won 4 music shows. And see our part 1 deep dive for even more on this comeback. But the stage that is included in the playlist has a great, like, very Y2K CGI, like it's one of those balls.
It's like
from O-Town the museum.
Liquid Dreams.
Yes, like, but it starts with one of those like balls from the museum where you put your fingers on it and the like lightning
and the, like,
shoots.
Static like goes.
So
to
it
your
does
fingers.
One of those, and then they O-Town at Secret World of Alex Mack, liquid appear on the floor and appear. And I was dying at the outfits that they're wearing in the stage because Shia's little like boat neck three-quarter top. Like I had that top.
Yeah, yeah. Like, every single one of the tops is a girl's t-shirt. Yes. I guarantee it. Like, absolutely. And like Jaejoong and Yuno have like little tummy peaks. Yeah. Even Changmin in his like maknae, I'm wearing actual sleeves top. Like he still gets a little bit of tummy sometimes. And just shout out to all the tiny tummies because they're just adorable. The hair.
Oh, their hair.
Jaejoong really had the craziest hair. Whoever. The one with the black hair.
Jaejoong.
I was
yes,
right.
Jaejoong. You were right. Okay, yes. Sorry. Okay. Take it all out. That's okay.
His hair is bananas. And nobody else's hair is that. Well,
Shia's is pretty.
Shia's is pretty big and blonde. And it's quite like large. But Jaejoong's hair is like, it is a hair piece.
Mm-hmm.
And it you should go see it. Just pull that stage up and please watch.
Please watch.
That was
it.
The hair that he had for like a lot of this era. Mm-hmm. And it's just a wild choice. But this song was recently remade, totally different vibe on TVXQ's 20th anniversary album 20 and 2. They do sort of like a, would you call it like a salsa version? Like
it's got more, like flamenco, it's like guitar, yeah, and it's a little like more low-key Latin vibes. But mm-hmm. in like we talked about when we talked about our episode about that album, that it also feels 20 years old. Like it's a new version, yes. But
it feels
the specific
very dated.
Sounds feel like this time period as well.
Yeah. It's a good remake.
Yeah.
All right, coming toward the end, we have a comeback on June 29th of one of our favorite duos of this time period, UN, with their album Reunion and their single Honeymoon. Release sold 25,000 copies and was 81 for the year. And it is just a nice, bouncy, happy tune about having a nice romantic summer. The entire music video is shot at a hotel and it starts with these like two hot ladies at the pool, and then the members like see them and they like invite them to hang out with them, and then the whole music video is just either like them goofing around the hotel with these ladies or like big dance shots in a courtyard with like no real choreography, but people, it's just like a big group of people with the two guys in the middle, and it's very like SM Town summer album vibe where everybody is just like singing at the camera and like having a fun time. And the song includes this sample, which I could not name, but I did recognize. Whatever that is, that song is on the Charlie's Angels soundtrack.
Okay, yeah.
I know that for a fact.
All right.
That was a very important movie and soundtrack to 10-year-old me. And I know for a fact.
Is that like a fast version of Just My Imagination? Just my imagination once again running away with me.
It does sound
it's
similar.
It's just my imagination. Like, that's what I heard.
It does sound similar, but the little, like, ooh, ooh.
Yeah, I think that's one. What I'm hearing. I'm hearing else. Just my imagination, but I will see what if the listeners hear anything else.
Well, Just My Imagination is not on the Charlie's Angels soundtrack.
Okay.
So
right.
I'm going to guess no, but I will be I will listen to that album later today and I'll get back to you.
Okay, great.
Anyway, it is a sample. I couldn't name it, but also this song has a lot of pew, 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 pew laser sounds. So as always, UN is great.
No, like I was just thinking when I was watching this, like, to me, like, UN has been the greatest gift of these 20 year back episodes. Like, I love them so much. And it's very funny because if they like come up on like Amazing Saturday or something, in my head, I will automatically be like, oh, I've been a fan of UN for 25 years. And I haven't, but I feel like I have.
I feel like you can retroactively say, like, if you had known about them at the time, you would have loved them. So there you go. Yeah.
All right. And our last thing for this half of 2004 is obviously our SM Town, SM Town Summer Vacation and SMTown.com 2004 release, which was called Hot Mail. Makes me giggle. So this sold 41,000 copies and was number 60 for the year. And we did a whole episode about SM Summer albums, so you can check that out if you want to. But this was the third SM Town Summer album, and it featured these group tracks, but also new songs from TVXQ, BoA, Kangta, Fly to the Sky, Isaac and Gion, The Grays, Moonhee Jun, Blackbeat, Donna, Shu, Chugayeol, and Yoo Young Jin. And the Yoo Young Jin song has Coolio on it. You know, it's a great summer fun time. And the music video has everybody frolicking at a resort. It has also been remastered, so you can see all of their real teeth and their like highlights, and the way that they're all hanging on each other in a like Lost Era way. Yeah. Boys just like drowning girls in pools, and like everybody's cuddling and having a great time. And there's a stage in the playlist of them doing this song live somewhere, and there's crazy technical difficulties. Like, the song keeps, like, straight up turning off.
Yeah.
And, like, they're all pretending really hard, like, they're actually singing it, but they're clearly not actually singing it, because the song keeps going, like, and then, like, stopping. And, like, then they all, like, look at each other and, like, smile like it isn't awful. And, like, it's really funny. Like, just the vibe of all of them trying so hard to be SM professionals and act like it's not a big deal that the song keeps turning off. But it's kind of a big deal that the song keeps turning off.
Huge deal. I was like so shocked that SM even allowed this video to like still exist, because this is clearly from like an SM Town concert
or something like it.
Something along
like
those
outdoors
lines.
Outdoors. Yeah. And there's like everybody.
Really
and
big
they keep
stadium.
Doing the helicopter shots of mm-hmm. the like outside.
And like SM is known for their perfectionism. And so that this happened and was allowed to be documented. Mm-hmm. Sign of the times, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. But all the comments are like, wow, they're all so professional. Like, poor BoA kept going off at her lines. And like, it seems like most people were like, they're so cool for handling this cool. So maybe that's why it stayed up. But
maybe, yeah, since the people were okay with it, SM mm-hmm. was like, well, very well.
But there you go. That's our first half of 2004.
Phew.
And yeah, like I said, it was kind of an odd year as far as the like K-pop and the groups and such go. But we'll see how the rest of the year shakes out. I will say that so far, probably the biggest trend in the music that I found in this was the like disco beat lasers.
Yeah. Kind.
There were quite a few of those on this list of just like a fun time, like classic disco sample or something that sounds like it with some pew pew lasers and a cute little line dance.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I agree. There was like a very there was like some like a disco trend of like, I don't know, just like kind of, I want to say almost like more casual, like because there's not a lot of super synchronized dancing in this year.
Like, only TVXQ was like really doing choreo.
Yeah, I was going to say TVXQ and BoA are like the only ones who are really dancing, and everybody else is just kind of like letting the backup dancers do it. And even then, the backup dancers are kind of like freestyling. So interesting. Just an interesting trend.
Yeah.
Very different.
And yeah, other than like some pretty wild hair stuff, like TVXQ's hair and what was that guy who had the crazy hair? Not Tim.
Oh,
Elok. Yeah, or yeah, whatever. Yeah. Like some wild, like fluffy hair and a lot of highlights. Like everybody's really doing big highlights. But other than that, I think this is another year where most of the stage outfits were cool mall clothes of the time. Like not a lot of like costumey costumes or like whatever. Like most people are just like wearing what I was wearing to high school, which I do enjoy in a like throwback kind of way. But again, it feels very, very different from the era of K-pop that is about to be upon us.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Especially when we get into like the real like height of second gen, where things are so overdramatic and like the stage outfits, the makeup, the choreography, and even the like sound of the music, it's just going to be so like overproduced in a way that is incredibly different from now.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting as this continues.
Yeah. And look forward to the second half. We will get, there are a couple of songs in the second half that are our timeless classics that we've been waiting for. So look forward to that later in the year. And with that, we'll be right back with a random game. All right, we are back. And this week, the random number generator gave us a boy group called Halo that debuted in 2014. And Angelica, will you please tell people what Halo stands for? Because it's so great.
This is an abbreviation for Hexagon of Absolute Light and Organization. The and fuck does that mean?
Organization.
Of absolute hex. Okay, well, hexagon makes sense because there's six of them.
Okay, yeah.
But absolute light, okay, sure. Like, you're going to give light. That's what shiny's all about. But the organization.
Yeah.
I have questions about
that. Yeah, I do too.
Go ahead.
Oh, no. They debuted under a company called High Star Entertainment. And like we said, there were six of them. And one of them was named Dino, like, you know, a shared stage name with a 17. But the one stage name that we really got stuck on is that one of them was called Oon with three O's.
Three O's.
O-O-N.
Oon.
Oon. Because his real name is Young Hoon. But I guess they just wanted to make it Oon.
They should have written it with like different letter, like uppercase, lowercase, uppercase. You know what I mean? To make it go like ooh.
But they did release quite a bit of music. They had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. They did 8 Korean singles between debut and disbandment and 4 Japanese singles as well. Mm-hmm. They did end their contract with High Star in 2019. And several of the members then went on to participate in Produce 101 Japan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but apparently all three of them left before the finale, citing personal reasons. So they didn't finish the run on the show. But yeah, like you said, they released quite a bit of music. They've got 3 EPs, a whole Japanese studio album. But apparently they disbanded very quietly. Like I saw a Reddit thread that was just asking like what happened to Halo. And the answer was they disbanded when their contracts expired with no formal announcement. So it seems like they just kind of like fizzled
quietly
out.
Quietly went away. I did notice like the music video we're going to watch, I don't think I've seen, but I did notice when looking for their most popular music video, which was hard, by the way, because there is a very popular video game and television show called Halo,
also
which is
the Beyonce
taking
song.
Up a lot of the search results. But they put out a song in 2018 called OMG, and I feel like I made it my recommendation on an episode like back in the first like 40 episodes of the show, because I stumbled upon it somehow and was like, this is actually a pretty good song. Never heard of this group. But that was the last thing they put out in Korea. But I was familiar with that one. So we'll see. Their most popular music video is their release from 2017. The Korean title is Yogi Yogi and the English title is Here I Am. So the music video is only listed under the Korean title. But if you want to pull it up, and watch it with us, please do, and just press play when I say go. 3, 2, 1, go. Ooh.
Okay, we've got like a dance set with a white room and like geometric red stuff behind them, and the members are in like gray and black striped suits. Coordinated but not matching.
Yeah.
It's fun. I like that horn loop.
Yeah.
So the music video is mostly choreography focused for now. We just switched it to another room, but we're still just dancing and we have different outfits on now.
Oh, and this is like that Ooh. Room. It's yeah. a brick window room that many, many, many cheap the music videos have
got been seven hard carry music video, I think, is filmed in this room.
They did a Queendom thing in that too. Like, I know it from so many different things.
They also are using like some every once in a while like editing video effects where like pieces of the room come in or then like the members like appear every once in a while. But for the most part, it's just a straight, we're going to be dancing for you.
Yeah.
Which is fun. I like that. Slutty floor stuff.
Ooh, white. Ooh, we're on to white outfits now. Little like pirate mm-hmm. undershirts with the tie, little tie up front.
Yeah. Some chokers on a couple of these fools.
Hey girl. Hey girl,
break it down. Come on.
Ooh. Oh, there's like a stroby thing happening now.
I almost feel like this reminds me of something else though, like that.
Yep, hold on. Oh, it's a little bit Super Junior. Hey, mamacita, nigga.
Oh, yeah. Yes, I hear that.
And like, I know that this horn thing was just very, very popular at this moment, but mm-hmm. it's like giving Jason Derulo.
Yeah.
And like a little bit of that Rise Talk Sexy song. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know. Anytime there's just like very
a
heavy
horn loop.
Horn yeah. stuff.
It's very, very similar or like echoes of the other yeah. ones, etc.
But there you go. That was Halo.
Great. That was fun. I liked it.
Nice.
I liked it.
All right. It is weekly recommendation time. I don't know if I have anything. I did watch this. I have seen the 17 comeback.
I was going to say the only new K-pop thing I've seen. I have two.
Okay, good.
Okay. So first of all, 17 is back. They have a new song called Maestro. I have not listened to whatever the full release may be, if it's an album or an EP or if it's just a single. I don't know.
It is.
I haven't even looked into it.
It is Maestro is the song, and then there are unit songs, and then it's the greatest hits after that. So
right,
it's like a
that's
huge
right. it's
album.
Greatest hits.
But
yes,
there's only
yes, yes.
one group and then three unit songs that are new.
So interesting that they're doing a greatest hits thing. You and I talked about this, how that like doesn't really feel like a K-pop thing to do.
Yeah, I'm very confused by it. I will say, like, I was going to bring this up because maybe people can help me here. But I saw like a TikTok, and maybe it was just people being catty bitches and being wrong about things. But it was like a TikTok that was claiming that like ARMY are being mean about the 17 album, saying that like they invented greatest hits albums or whatever.
Wow.
And then somebody was arguing that this is actually 17's third like greatest hits anthology album. And I was like, it is.
No, that's not true. That's definitely not true. Like, I know that I have been kind of an absent carrot since the Hype takeover, but
That's definitely not true, fucking right? true. There's no way. I would like bet my carrot dumb on that fact. Correct me if I'm wrong, but like I don't think I am.
So anyway, continue. This is new Maestro. We were talking about Maestro. Yes,
Maestro. It is new. Apparently the title, because it is on this greatest hits collection, the title track of Maestro incorporates their previous title tracks. I have not like dived into it to decode it. But apparently it is there. There's like an interview with Woozy where he talks about it. And they just released a choreography version of the music video. So I want to recommend that. That's my official recommendation, is the choreography version, because the regular version is like nice. It's like it's fun to watch, but like it has a lot of like green screen and like CGI in it. And like I just want to see them dance. I want to see the choreography.
I wanted to see the dance.
Yeah, that was all I wanted out of the original video. Exactly. So there is a choreography version. I recommend it, and I'm excited to like have a 17 comeback that I enjoyed on first listen, because that hasn't always been the case in the past couple years. But my other recommendation came out a little while ago, but so sexy. So scandalous.
Okay. Oh.
And this is the video I sent you of Bebe and Jackson Wang.
Oh my
feeling
God. Yes.
Lucky. The song is called Feeling Lucky. It's like a collaborate. It's not like a Bebe song featuring. It's not a Jackson feature. It's just a collab, a duet between the two of them. The music video is entirely close-ups of their faces with bare shoulders, so it implies that they are both shirtless. And then they are just like singing
into each other's
mouths with like not even a centimeter apart. Like they are just begging you to get mad about it. And my only complaint is that the song is only 2.5 minutes long. Like, give me a fucking bridge, Jackson. Stop cutting my songs short.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's great. I really love the combination of her like tiny voice and his like rasp. They sound really good together, and the music video is very sexy. They look great together too. And if they are dating, congrats, because that's a hot ass couple.
Yeah. Congratulations to the whole world.
Congratulations to us all.
That hookup was real, because wow, good for everyone. Whew.
So yeah, Feeling Lucky. It's a good song.
That's great. This is like not even a recommendation. Someone put it on the Discord. I was like, maybe I could find it, but it was like just a clip, like a TikTok clip that I saw yesterday that made me laugh so hard. And this was a music show after stage, and like Boy Next Door is like standing and waiting, and then 17 comes in next to them, and Mingyu is standing next to the Boy Next Door leader Jaehyun, and first of all he's like 2 feet taller than him. Like I can't believe like how the difference in their sizes, but he like Jaehyun is just like he can't deal like standing next to Mingyu. He's like freaking out and like making crazy faces, and then he gets scared of the fireworks, and then he's so embarrassed to have gotten scared in front of Mingyu. And like I don't know, it was just like he goes on this whole journey standing there, and it made me laugh so hard. So like I don't know, go find that clip if you want to have a giggle.
That is really fun. I saw, speaking of idols fanning out, freaking out over other idols, I think it was kind of old, but I saw the funniest clip of IU and Taeyong from Big Bang.
Oh, okay.
She's a huge, huge Taeyong fan.
Believe it.
And there was this clip where she was being interviewed at an award show. And so like she's holding a microphone and the interviewer is also holding a microphone. And then Taeyong is like walking by, and the interviewer is like, oh, Taeyong, like come join us. And whoever edited this like added like captions to like caption IU's face journey. And a lot of them are just like, don't look at him. Don't look at him. Don't look. Oh shit, I looked at him. And then like, and then as soon as they ask, like the interviewer asks Taeyong a question, and then IU gives her mic instead. Like they both go to give the mic, and the interviewer is like, oh, what? And the caption is just like, this is my interview now. And then like Taeyong like holds her hand kind of to like bring
putting the microphone closer. Oh my God. And she blue screens out. And it's just, it was so fucking funny. I let it loop like four times because I was just laughing. She's so precious. It's so cute. That's so great. Yeah, always enjoy an idol having a fangirl moment over another mm-hmm. idol. I think that's precious.
It's really fun. All right, well, we'll end it there. That's enough stuff for now. I will say right up top, Patreon plug. First of all, patreon.com/amakekpoppod if you want to join our Patreon. But if you are a Patreon patron who has not yet voted, next week's episode will be a deep dive that y'all pick, and you have like a couple more days to vote after you're hearing this. So if you haven't voted yet, go do that.
Because yeah. Not like, next week, but the week after.
Yes.
We do every
our
two,
next
but
yeah. episode.
Next episode.
Yes, mm-hmm. yes, yes.
So you have like a week from now.
Exactly.
To get your votes in. So get exactly. them in.
So get them in. And as I said in the post, if there is a group not in the poll that you'd like to be considered, put it in the comments, because we just took all of the choices off of our own to-do list mm-hmm. and the episode suggestion channel. So yeah, as always, give us your feedback on that stuff, because we like to give y'all episodes you want to hear.
Absolutely. So just keep in mind what our usual deep dive criteria is, in that right? it should be a group that is not like in the middle of the career. Like, we need to find somebody that has an like sensible chapter has yes. ended or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, yes. don't tell me, I don't know, Dreamcatcher or something. Like, they're in the middle of all of their shit. Like,
right.
we're not going to do a deep dive on New Jeans.
Yes. Because they just started.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. But so that's up there. And you can join Patreon. There's other fun stuff on there if you want to join Patreon. And then otherwise, we are on Instagram at AMAKPopPod. You can email us, AMAKPopPod@gmail.com. You can send us texts or leave us voicemails at 1-81-AMAKPOP5. You can send us mail to P.O. Box 26096, Los Angeles, California, 90026. And Linktree/AMAKPOP will take you to our YouTube and our Spotify, where we have the playlist that we mentioned so many times in this episode, so that you can see some of these music videos and stages for yourself. We make them for every episode where we have music videos that we reference, so they're in an easy place for you to find. You can also join our Discord there. Our Discord is a very lively place where people are always talking about stuff, and you can be one of them if you want to. And that is all the places for us for now. Thank you as always for tuning in, and we'll see you in 2 weeks for some kind of deep dive that you guys pick. How exciting.
Woohoo!
All right. Love you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Jonghyun, you're our inspiration.
Pause. I have to get my computer charger. Hold on.
Okay.
I can never be.